As we prepare to come to the table this morning, I want to invite you to notice something with me in the Ephesian letter. Will you go to Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bible? Ephesians 2. Three times in this letter, Paul will speak about our condition before Jesus rescues us. But to say that doesn't say enough. It's not as though he alludes to the fact that we are sinners who are saved by Jesus. Instead, he brutally unpacks our ugly predicament in sin, detailing the position we put ourselves in because of that choice. Notice in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, he said, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath." It's bad enough just to kind of read the list, right? And then if you just start pondering the pieces, dead, following the adversary, ruled and led about by our lusts, destined to face God's wrath. It's an ugly picture, isn't it? But then if you go down just a little bit, he will do it again. In fact, I think Andrew alluded to this last week in his reflections. Look at verse 11 of chapter 2. "Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time," now here's his list, "separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." You see it? Again, he just works the details. Separate, excluded, strangers, no hope, without God. And then if you move ahead to chapter 4, for a third time, a little bit different context, he does exactly the same thing. This is chapter 4 and verse 17. "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk." Here it is. "In the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness." You see it? Darkness and ignorance and hardened hearts that have become callous to evil, again, consumed with sensuality and impurity. In all three of these places, Paul does not hold back. In fact, if you take the time to just sort of soak in those three segments, it's brutal what he says about our condition. It is an ugly picture. So why? Why does he share that in such brutal detail? And why are we thinking about it this morning? If you go back to chapter 2, I think it is a setup. He's telling us this plainly to prepare us for what is coming next. And so, for example, in chapter 2, look at the next verse. We ended at 3, pick up in verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. You see it? He describes this awful mess we made for ourselves. But then in verse 4, he says, well, he starts the other picture, but God. Your mess, my mess, does not have to be the end of my story. Paul will say that God has been merciful to us and graciously offered at great sacrifice to help us clean up the mess. Literally to make you and me into a whole new person. Same thing in chapter 2 and verse 13. Remember we left off at verse 12? Notice the language. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And I could keep reading, but he just goes on to talk about what God has done for us in Jesus to bring together Jew and Gentile in one body and give all of us access to the Father. And we could go unpack chapter 4 in that same place where he goes on to say, but you did not learn Christ this way in verse 20. And he goes on to tell us how God has given us an opportunity to become a whole new person. You see, we need both pieces of this. We will never truly appreciate what it means to be the recipients of God's mercy and forgiveness, to be granted access, to be able to become a new person until we understand the mess we put ourselves in. You see that? So as we come to celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus, if you'll return to chapter 2 and verse 4, I invite you to ponder the two words that begin that verse. The two words that change everything. We had made a terrible mess. Then verse 4 says, but God was gracious and merciful. Chapter 2 and verse 13. But in Christ Jesus. That's how it happened. Through what we celebrate today. The death on the cross that enabled us to be brought near again. To have access again. And so as we partake, I invite you to ponder just on the two words at the beginning of verse 4. The two words that change everything.